On this week's episode, the boys will talk boys basketball, girls basketball, Hills hockey, the NBA trade deadline, and a little bit of the Super Bowl. Let's do it. Hello and welcome to another edition of the Colts Corner Podcast. I'm Douglas Atuca with Brian Flatow, Benjamin Dixon, and Mike Garofa. We're back after temporarily handing over the throne to the younger younger generation of kids that are coming in next year. They did a nice job. Constantine with us as well took over the role of the host and did a nice job last week. So round of applause for him. But we're back. And we've got a lot of stuff to talk about. Ben, boys basketball heading to the playoffs.
Yeah, boys basketball wraps up a remarkable regular season. They are the co-League 4 champions alongside Kings Park. They finished 16-4 overall, 13-3 in league. And they wrapped it up yesterday with a 67-48 win versus East Islip on Senior Day. The game was never really close. Cedric Gordon, 23 points, 7 rebounds. Brent Bland, 15 points on 5 threes. I mean, that kid's just a sharpshooter. And Colby Jordan, 6 points, 6 assists. Just an all-around great performance for the Colts. And Doug, I know you caught up with Jalen Say about the Colts' playoff expectations and the season so far. So let's get right to that.
All right. How does it feel to be co-champions?
It feels great. We just won a game yesterday. We ended 13-3. I love my team. I'm very excited to go into the playoffs. Huge accomplishment. I'm happy for us as a team.
So you just brought up the playoffs. What are your expectations as you guys move forward?
I expect us to go all the way, beat every team we come against. We're just going to see what happens.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, you got to love that attitude from Jalen, going all the way. You know, the sky's the limit for this Hills West team. We've seen him a number of times this year. Unfortunately, only got to one broadcast. I'm sure we'll get to hopefully a few more during the playoffs. But they're a fun team to watch, and the sky's definitely the limit heading into the playoffs.
Yeah, they definitely have enough talent to make some noise in the deeper rounds of the playoffs. Hopefully, they can get something done as we move into the postseason. Brian, now with the girls' basketball, they're also playoff-bound.
Yes, they are playoff bound with a league record of 8-8. They won their win in your in game yesterday. They played East Islip and they just absolutely crushed them. It was a 64-34 victory. Top scorers in that game: Emily Ross, 9 points; Alexa Hinkey, 16; and then the star player Kayla Robertson with 22 points. She's just been excellent this year. And Doug, you actually caught up with her today, and here it is.
How did it feel winning that last game of the season and sneaking your way into the playoffs as the last seed?
Well, you know, we came into that game knowing that we had to win and that we had no choice. And so we looked at the other team and we knew that whether they won or lost, they wouldn't have made the playoffs anyway. So they really weren't playing for anything. And, like, in our hearts, it was our game. Like, we came in there strong, brought our energy high, and made sure that we came out with the win and left no doubt on the table for our team.
Were your preseason predictions similar to how it's worked out here in the as we move into the playoffs?
Actually, yeah. We predicted that we would be we play each team twice, so we predicted that we'd be going halves, like splitting with each team that was like higher than us. And we actually, like, in the beginning of the season, we were doing really well. We had some injuries throughout the rest of the season, so we ended up doing exactly how we thought we were going to be. But every game has been close. We haven't gotten blown out ever, and the two best teams in the county, we've only lost by 2 or 3 points to them when we did. So
do you believe this team has enough to win it all?
I definitely do. When we verse the best teams, and the quote-unquote best teams in the county, we always come close, and there's just a few minor things that need to be tweaked in order for us to have 100% success. And I really believe in my team, and I think we can really pull it all out this year.
Yeah, you know, as Kayla described there, it is a gritty group. They win the close games, and they play every team tight, which means that they can compete here in the playoffs, and it's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, that team definitely has a lot of talent, and a player that you brought up had 16 points in their last game, Alexa Hinkey. She was not suited up when we did our broadcast, and she's a big part. We know her sister graduated last year, was a was probably the best player on the team last year, broke some records, was over 2,000 points. We covered that game as well. But Alexa Hinkie could play a vital role as we move into the playoffs.
Yeah, let me just say before you move on to some Hills hockey, against Hallpaug, the game we were at on Friday, they have a 6'5 monster, and she's going to be a force to be reckoned with come playoff time. Hallpaug, obviously one of the best teams in the county from what we were told from Kayla and our good friend Danny Alper. But Hills West definitely has what it takes. Gritty group, like you said, Brian, and I'm excited to watch them going to the playoffs.
Yeah, and I think it's really great that Kayla's been able to step up. She's taken that leadership role, and she's really ran with it. She's brought these girls together, and she's helped them be where they are today. She's led them in a very prominent way. She's a great leader, and without her, I don't think this girls' team would be really anywhere right now.
Yeah, and another team that's included in the Half Hollow Hills community, a club hockey team, ice hockey. They're on to the Suffolk County Championship. It's a series 2 out of 3. Next week starts on Monday, 9:20 at the rinks. It's a $5 admission. The series will be Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Monday's game, as I said, 9:20. Wednesday's game will be 9:20 as well. And if necessary, Friday's game is to be determined. So they don't know the timing there. But last night, Half Hollow Hills dominated West Islip, which was a much bigger and more physical team than them. They just outskated, outperformed, crisper passes, much more offensive opportunities, and defensively, they were just stout. No opportunities. Russell Coffey was a beast in goal, only gave up one goal on a rebound after a lunging save, made an incredible save and then an easy tap-in for West Islip. But other than that, he looked like Mike Richter in there. He's got that almost, I don't know, the style, just all over the place, just making saves left and right. But he was incredible last night. And the series will start Monday for the Suffolk County Championship. They'll also go on to states after that. And I caught up again with Jimmy Vinciguerra, a player on the Hills team, about the playoffs and what's to come. How did it feel to win that semifinals game and move on to the championship series?
It felt great. We played our game, played structured hockey. Brendan Pomerantz, Austin Meyer, Zach Bost, they all played fantastic. So did Thomas Howell.
Yes, he did play very well. What are your expectations moving forward? Do you believe that this team could win this championship and then do some damage in states?
I believe that we're going to go straight through Smithtown, head first. We're going to go through Smithtown. We're going to go to states. We're going to kill states. We're going to go to nationals. We're going to win.
Wow, bold predictions there. You guys have had some trouble with Smithtown. It's been some good games between these two teams. You say you're going to kill them. How are you guys going to do that?
Well, just if you look last year, we went 24-0 and we beat them 2-0 in the Suffolk County final. So we're looking to do that again this year.
And this season the game was broadcasted live, and it was a 3-2 loss, correct?
Correct. We did lose 3-2. It's on News 12 Varsity if you want to catch it this coming week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Friday's to be determined, but Monday, 9:20, Wednesday at 9:20.
All right, great. So that was Jimmy Vinciguerra. As he said, Smithtown has given them trouble in the past. I know a player on there, Ryan McKenna. I play roller hockey with him, the captain of that team. And they've got a good group of kids. Big team again, going up against what I've seen. Our team is much smaller than a lot of the other groups, but skating wise and skill wise, they match up at the top of the league, led by Brendan Pomerantz and some others, as he said, Howell, Austin Myers as well. And we don't know if Russell Coffey will get the call in goal. As they've been switching off, he did not play the first game, came in for the second game. So that's TBD for the championship round. So good luck to the Half Hollow Hills West and East hockey team. And we'll move on. Maybe let's talk a little professional. NBA trade deadline coming up. 18 minutes away. 3 o'clock is the deadline. Some big trades. A guy, Hills West alum, Tobias Harris, being traded from L.A., the Clippers, with Boban Marjanovic, Mike Scott to Philadelphia for Landry Shamet, Wilson Chandler, Mike Muscala, and 2 first-rounders and 2 second-rounders. So a huge blockbuster trade there. And a guy, Tobias Harris, whose name has been in the news quite a bit the last few seasons around this trade deadline. He's been moving teams, so maybe he'll fit with that now what they call the Big Five in Philly.
Yeah, definitely a great fit for him. And whoa, a little breaking news here, not to disrupt the whole Tobias thing, but Orlando's trading for Markelle Fultz from Philly, another Philly thing there. We'll get into that in a little bit. But just to talk Tobias here, I mean, he got snubbed from the All-Star game this year. It's pretty evident. He's having a great season. And obviously he's been traded a lot, but I think he's here to stay in Philly. Like they said, they're trying to keep that that core together of him, Jimmy Butler, Ben Simmons, and Joel Embiid. It's going to be tough to do from a financial standpoint from the Sixers. Obviously tough to foresee that now, but definitely a great fit for Tobias, and you got to be happy for him. Hills West Zone.
Yeah, Tobias having an excellent year. He's becoming a superstar before our eyes in this league. As Ben just said, he definitely was a snub from the All-Star game. And if he was in the East all year, he definitely would have been an All-Star. He's better than his numbers are better than a lot of the guys in the East. He's averaging over 21 points per game, over 8 rebounds per game. Those are stud numbers. Tobias is having an excellent season. And I did see an alert earlier this week that the Sixers would like to re-sign him after this season. So they are going to try and keep that core together. I think it's a great move for both sides, particularly the Sixers, because it makes them contenders in the East now, adding a guy like Tobias Harris to an already great team. I just think that the Sixers are going to work out from this deal, and I think it's best for Tobias also that he's going to be in a town that's so basketball-centered right now in Philadelphia. There's a lot of great things happening over there, so I think it's going to be good for both sides.
Yeah, I met up with ex-basketball coach Mr. Matera Tona. We spoke briefly about his book, The Last Redman, which just came out. It's now a top seller. And we also spoke Tobias as he was once his coach in high school.
What inspired you to write your book?
My father inspired me to write my book, Last of the Redmen. About 10 years ago, we were sitting down at Christmas, and he said, Bill, your story of never playing a minute in high school and then playing 3 years in college is inspirational. And it teaches kids not to quit and give up on their dreams. So he said, you know, when you get some time, you should put it together. And it took me about 10 years to write it, and I got it done. And 3 months ago it came out, and it's been a bestseller.
Brilliant work.
Thank you.
All right, we'll talk a little bit to Tobias Harris. In high school, he's actually with the Clippers. He's been recognized as a hard worker. His work ethic is highlighted there. And he's built a nice reputation for himself. Did you see that kind of work ethic in high school?
Absolutely. As a senior in high school, he wouldn't have first or second period classes. It didn't stop him from coming to school at 6 in the morning and shooting for an hour, going home, taking a shower, and then coming back to school. And on the days he couldn't get in the gym, he would run 2 miles or 3 miles around the neighborhood. So, yeah, you saw it in high school as a senior. And most seniors like to coast. He got to work his senior year, which is why he was a McDonald's All-American.
Mm-hmm. So after the trade now to Philadelphia, he seems pretty excited about it. How do you think he'll fit in?
I think he'll fit in well. I could probably tell you more after I see them play next Wednesday night against the Knicks.
Mm-hmm.
But he's such a likable person and a hard worker that you have to respect it. So the coaching staff's going to love him. How he fits in with the other players, I don't know them personally, but I'm sure he will. He's fit in everywhere he's been.
Yeah, thanks.
So great words from Coach Matera Tona. We'd love to have him on for a podcast, just the way the knowledge he has, especially about Hills West basketball, talking in length about his book, which is very well done. But great interview, as always, with Matera Tona and Tobias Harris. Seems like he'll have a great time in Philadelphia, similar to the New York City vibe. So moving closer to home as well for him. And the Philadelphia 76ers could make a push here in the playoffs.
Yeah, well, it's really cool to see what the insight that Matera Tona really has. I mean, he got to see the things that Tobias did coming in early in senior year of high school to shoot around. And if he couldn't, then he'd run around. I mean, those are things he would never know. That's not going to be seen in the public. Nobody who watches the NBA is going to know that Tobias Harris was that dedicated to being a basketball player. So it's amazing to hear something like that. And it really makes you appreciate the knowledge that the guy has. And hopefully, like you said, we can get him on a podcast in the future.
Yeah, I definitely plan to check out his book, The Last of the Redmen. I know it's on top sellers on Amazon. Definitely going to check that one out, read it, and then we'll bring you an in-depth interview about the book at some point. Definitely an inspirational story, and Matera Tona, always making time for us. Definitely has a lot of knowledge of the game and just a lot of knowledge in life in general. So definitely a great interview by you there, Doug, and I'm happy to get more on him in the future.
Yeah, totally. So let's move on in the NBA trade deadline. A deal That's close to our home. The New York Knickerbockers making a trade, sending their star Kristaps Porzingis and a couple big contracts and Courtney Lee, Tim Hardaway Jr., and Trey Burke to Dallas for Wesley Matthews, Dennis Smith Jr., a guy who they wanted in the draft but passed up on for Frank Ntilikina and DeAndre Jordan, and two first-rounders. Those two first-rounders are a big part of that trade, and when we further evaluate, which it's very difficult to do now, as next season rolls around, as the summer concludes, we'll get a better idea of how this trade actually worked out for the Knicks.
Yeah, so this deal, the Knicks did this with the clear intention of going after two superstars, or at least just Kevin Durant this offseason, because they clear the room for two max contracts. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to go out for them. Unfortunately, I don't think it's going to work out for them. We can't, like you said, we can't fully assess this trade until July 1st or a week after July 1st when the players are signed. But we can't fully assess it until then. But I just don't see it happening, because we've been saying, as Knicks fans or as analysts have been saying for years, that this is the Knicks' year to go out and get guys in the offseason. We said it with LeBron three times. It happened with Kevin Durant when he was in free agency. It's happened with Jimmy Butler before. It's happened with so many players. And they're always supposed to go out and get these guys. And unfortunately, it hasn't happened. MSG is not as big of an attraction as people say it is, obviously. When Carmelo Anthony was in his prime, the Knicks still couldn't get another superstar to come here. I don't see anything about this team right now that would make Kevin Durant want to choose the Knicks over the Lakers or some other team that he can contend with. I just don't see it happening. But like I said earlier, you can't look at the trade until July. Until we know that we either got the players, or I say we as a Knicks fan, but until the Knicks either got the players or the Knicks didn't, and that is entirely what this deal depends on.
Yeah, I mean, if you're the Knicks from a franchise standpoint, if you don't get these two guys, I mean, oh boy, you better be ready for the hits you're going to take from all the fans. And if that doesn't work out, I really don't know what to tell you. I'm not expecting it to work out. I'm not a Knicks fan. But if it doesn't work out, that fan base is definitely not going to be very happy, especially getting rid of their franchise cornerstone or former franchise cornerstone at this point, Porzingis. But you're looking at this from Porzingis' standpoint. You go to Dallas. Dirk Nowitzki's probably got a year left. Another European guy. You get to learn from him for a little bit. Now it's him and Luka Doncic. That's the future of the Dallas Mavericks. And it's a pretty bright future, too. Doncic probably going to run away with Rookie of the Year this year. And Porzingis, if he can stay healthy, we know what he can do on the court. And that core right there, Dallas has got some bright things going if they can both stay healthy and expect them to really improve in the future.
Yeah, I had an unpopular opinion when this trade first came out. I actually didn't mind the deal at all. Kristaps Porzingis did not want to be in New York, and really, how could you blame him? The Knicks are a disaster. I'm a Knicks fan, and it's just atrocious, really difficult to watch what they've done over the last couple of years. But getting rid of big contracts like Courtney Lee, Tim Hardaway Jr., getting those names and numbers off the books and opening up that slot for two max contracts. I mean, what else can you do from a Knicks standpoint? That's what you need to do. You got to clear room and try and restart, figure it out. They got those two first rounders. You don't know where they're going to end up in the draft in a couple years. I believe they're future picks. But the return, Dennis Smith Jr., could be your point guard of the future, depending on how he develops. Could be a solid player, maybe play him with Ntilikina once they both figure it out. Ntilikina has had a slow start, but European players, you got to give them a little time. But
off that real quick, I think it's absolutely embarrassing for the Knicks that they just traded for Dennis Smith, because everybody in New York, everybody across the country for the most part, knew that the Knicks should have taken Dennis Smith with that 8th pick in the draft 2 years ago. But they went with Frank Ntilikina. No one knew who he was, and he hasn't panned out, and he probably won't pan out. So I think what's he going to be, the next Mario Hezonja? Something like that. Just not a great player. If anything, he's going to be a role player, which is not what you're looking for with the 8th pick in the draft. And Dennis Smith, I think, is going to be a very good player. I did when he first came out, when he first came into college, or when he first came into the NBA. And I think he still is going to be, and I like the fact that he's on the Knicks now, but I think it's absolutely embarrassing that they had to trade for him instead of where they could have just drafted him.
You know, I was about to bring it up. Wesley Matthews, a player in that trade, has just agreed to a contract buyout with the Knicks. Indiana Pacers are the front runners to sign him. So there goes one of your players from the trade, how they were actually looking to get something back for Matthews. And DeAndre Jordan, an interesting player there. the Knicks will have to see if they want to bring him back as a veteran leader. Probably would cost too much for the Knicks to just bring him back as a role guy, a guy that can play good defense. So overall, this trade can't really be assessed until next season, until those two first rounders are picked, which is in the future. So we don't really know how this will pan out. 5 years from now, we'll look back and see how this really affected it. And the Knicks, they're taking a gamble, but they opened up those two max slots, and it could pan out for them. But it's just such a dumpster fire there. It's almost embarrassing what's happened with the Knicks. So let's move off the Knicks to a more interesting topic. The Pelicans and the Lakers have been discussing Anthony Davis trades. It was really hot early on, has almost went dormant as we approached the trade deadline. Now we're 7 minutes away, and it looked as though the Lakers are almost out of it.
Yeah, I mean, Anthony Davis is staying put at this point. It's not 2:54. There's less than 6 minutes to the deadline. He's not going anywhere. If I'm wrong within the next 6 minutes, you can kill me for it. But just going to say, the Pelicans, I don't know how you don't take the initial offer from the Lakers with the two first-round picks and basically their whole entire future. but like I saw yesterday on Twitter, Brian Windhorst, ESPN, very credible analyst, he said that the Pelicans were basically just doing this whole thing to just being petty, I guess, to kind of like outsmart the Lakers, or like with no intention at all. I'm really not sure what it was, but the Pelicans obviously in the driver's seat in this situation, as they still have Davis under contract for the rest of the year. Maybe they'll make a trade come June, come draft time, but to me, it just doesn't make any sense why you wouldn't do that deal with the Lakers.
Yeah, but I mean, although if they were trying to play with them like a puppet, you still got a great deal in return. It's like almost like you go into something and then you get something better than you expected. I mean, I don't know how you don't take that deal. How many first rounders do you want? You getting the?
They wanted four. They said it was a joke.
they wanted four first rounders. They got two in the offer, correct? And they practically got all of the Lakers' young and up and coming stars that had a chance to develop. So, from a Pelican standpoint, it really doesn't make much sense why they wouldn't take that deal. They must have that's either a false trade rumor or a false report. Or the Pelicans just have different plans and think that they can get Anthony Davis back. But I don't understand why you wouldn't, if you're the Pelicans, they're not going anywhere. They have Anthony Davis now. They're not even close to a playoff spot in the bottom half of the Western Conference. So no Anthony Davis next year. It seems like a perfect plan to just bring in the new talent from the Lakers. You have a couple first-rounders and go after it there, try to restart.
Yeah, safe to say it was a tough week in New Orleans, right? First you have the Super Bowl protest. None of the Saints fans wanted to watch that. Now you have Anthony Davis remaining a Pelican, which I don't think anyone could like in New Orleans because of the deal that they were offered. If they don't trade Anthony Davis is going to walk away, and they're going to get nothing for
Lakers,
him.
Baby.
Yeah, we'll probably walk away to the Lakers. And
hopefully the Knicks.
And hopefully, but the Pelicans will get nothing in return. So I don't understand not trading him while you can. I get it, I guess, if you're looking for more picks closer to around draft day and something like that. But why wouldn't you just trade him now? They got the deal. It was Kuzma, Ingram, Lonzo.
I think Zubac was in there.
The two first rounders. And you know, if this deal was really, if this isn't fake news. I don't understand how the Pelicans couldn't take it. It's baffling.
I mean, it doesn't get better than that. They're not going to get anything better than that. And it's similar to the Bryce Harper dispute that happened in the midseason, where he rejected that huge offer, and now the market has dwindled down so small that he's almost begging people to sign him at this point. So similar situations there. Another alert NBA wise. With the Knicks is another Nick news. Enes Kanter looking to get bought out, so that will probably happen right before the trade deadline.
The good news is
he's a good player,
like,
though.
I know, but it's looking like a tank. It's looking like a serious.
Yeah,
tank.
Totally. And
that was one of the worries when they traded Porzingis and got guys like Dennis Smith and DeAndre Jordan that were going to help the team. Is that they were going to start winning a little bit? I told everyone, don't worry about the Knicks winning. There's no fear there. That's never going to happen.
Poor Brian, the life of a Knick, Jet, and Met fan.
Yeah, a 4-month-old Boston baby has seen more championships than me.
That's really
so. Unbelievable. In the last 45 years, actually.
Actually, I was 45 years old. A two-week-born baby in Boston.
I've seen more than Nate, but if it was but in the last 45 years, what I'm saying, since 1969, yeah. So it's been tough. But yeah, just absolute stupidity on the part of the Pelicans, I think.
Yeah, Cantor and Matthews could definitely help a team as they'll become free agents after the buyout. Three more trades we want to hit up. Sacramento has acquired Harrison Barnes. You may know him from Golden State early on in his career. Good shooter, good player for Justin Jackson and Zach Randolph. So an interesting deal there. Justin Jackson, young player, has a lot of opportunity. Could really pan out to be a great player in the league. But Zach Randolph, obviously aging, never was activated on the roster.
Who knows if he's staying on the
exactly. So, but Harrison Barnes, a real solid piece.
I think. I think the real headline here is that Harrison Barnes was traded while he was playing game.
Oh, that was brutal.
I mean, the trade, in my opinion, is almost at least irrelevant for this season. You know, it's two teams that probably aren't going to make the playoffs, and not the highest talent in players. Also, it wasn't the best quality. But I think the headline there, and LeBron James actually posted about it on Instagram. He said, "This is despicable. This shouldn't happen. Being traded mid game. Now it's part of the game. Probably it's a business. You got to trade guys, and when you got to do it, you got to do it. But it's got to be tough hearing news from the bench.
I mean, you got to think about it though, with social media and how we get news so quickly. I mean, GMs are probably working through games, thinking about trades, talking during trades. It just doesn't leak out. You know what I mean? In the past, it probably came out after the game where the trade was probably completed during the game. Just in this scenario, it was unfortunate that his face was shown on the bench and it said that he was reportedly being traded. So it's an interesting thing there. Tough to see that as a player who's sweating and working his tail off to perform for a team, and then he just gets traded while he's playing for that team. So just tough.
Yeah, the interesting thing there to me, obviously the whole being traded mid-game thing. Also, you really think about Sacramento trying to make the playoffs for the first time in years, and they're buyers at the deadline. It really is interesting. And
overachieved, yeah.
Yeah, just want to say two things real quickly before we move on to the next trade. It's 3 o'clock, so the deadline's passed. Anthony Davis staying put, Mike Conley staying put.
Well, I mean, there could be stuff that filters in a little bit after 3, but most likely the big stuff is done.
Yeah, we'd probably already know about it by now. Yep. And the second thing, Mike, this is more for you. Frank Robinson has passed away.
Oh.
The only player with MVP in both the AL and the NL in the MLB.
Wow.
586 career homers, the first African-American manager in MLB history. Just an absolute legend, so rip to him.
Yeah, RIP to a legend in the MLB community. So that's definitely tough.
Didn't know him very well. I did see the name come up on my screen. Didn't really know what it was about, but that's too bad. I don't know a ton about him. I've heard about him, but it's always sad when you have a legend like that pass away.
Yeah, tough loss for the MLB. Two more trades we want to get to. Toronto, a big one. Marc Gasol has been traded to the Toronto Raptors for Jonas Valanciunas, Dellen Wright, CJ Miles, and a 2024 second rounder.
How are we trading those picks, by the way?
I don't know. That is 5 years away. That's a long time. So that could be a very valuable pick.
You never know, but I mean, you're looking at this trade, Toronto, Marc Gasol, obviously a big piece, the franchise star out there in Memphis. They're pretty much swapping big man Valanciunas. See you later. He's off to Memphis. And you look at Toronto, they got that big three now. You got Kyle Lowry, Kawhi Leonard, and Marc Gasol. Hope maybe a little splash there to try and match what Philly did with Tobias. But both those teams left me at the top of the East, and I'm excited to watch the race, and that only makes it more interesting.
Yeah, I mean, Marc Gasol is definitely an upgrade from Valanciunas. Not saying Valanciunas is a bad player, but I'm saying Marc Gasol at one point was the top center in the league, and he still has a lot of talent. But Memphis, obviously having a tough season, looking to get back some pieces. That second rounder, 5 years away, as we said, is a long time. But we'll revisit that in 5 years. We'll be hopefully working our first jobs right out of college. What would that
crazy
be?
To think when these first round these first round picks hit, we're gonna be out of college.
First on the ESPN panel, the four of us. Colts Corner podcast reunion.
We'll see you on our radio show, our podcast, and we'll be telecasted on ESPN as well.
Of course.
That's the goal.
Gotta live the dream.
Hey, we're just working to have fun and continue continue what we're doing. But that pick won't be taken for a while. Marc Gasol could make a splash with Toronto as well and play well there. Toronto has a tough time in the playoffs, as we know. We'll see how that trade affects their push. Last trade we want to get to, Rockets acquiring Iman Shumpert, the ex-New York Knick. Three-team deal with the Cavs and the Kings. Cavs get a lottery-protected first-round pick from Houston. The pick is probably the main highlight of this deal.
I mean, Shump obviously not going to give you much on offense. Good defensive player, good rebounder the Rockets are getting, but you're giving up a first-round pick for Iman Shumpert. We saw what this guy did in the bright lights with the Cavs. Didn't really step up to the level that LeBron was expecting. And if you're the Rockets, it's just interesting because you got to think you're not winning the title this year. Like, why would you give up a first rounder that is lottery protected for a guy like Iman Shumpert? Doesn't really make much sense to me. But I'm not general manager, so
I don't really see the logic here in this trade. It's very interesting. Iman Shumpert was a good player with the Knicks, not a great player with the Cavs. Decent player? I don't really know. Definitely not worth a first round.
Good defensive player.
He's a role player. But it's something you would spend on a lottery pick.
If he's a first round picker, a first round pick, that means Zuccarello, we should be getting at least 3 first round picks, and Hayes should be 4 first round picks. If this guy's getting a first round pick in return, that's lottery protected. Are you kidding me? That's abysmal. Sorry, I had to get a little hockey news in there, you know? But
it is a little crazy.
Well, that's what you were talking about.
Yeah, I was. Trade deadline's coming up for hockey. That should be the Monday we come back from break. So maybe we'll
exciting
talk.
Stuff,
we'll talk a little bit about it on on that Colts corner.
Isles need a goal scorer.
Yeah, I mean the Isles will be active. You don't know how active. They're usually quiet. They've been quiet the past few seasons. But
that was
this is
no,
a different
we got
year.
Lou Lamoriello. Come on.
This is a different year for the Islanders. Their fans are feeling it. They're even asking if they could have their playoff games in Nassau Coliseum, which would be interesting if they can get the barn rocking for a couple playoff series and make a run there. But that was just my little hockey news. We'll get back to that after the break.
I mean, any trade deadline's pretty exciting.
Of course. Totally agree. Just confirming Shams reporting that Anthony Davis will be staying with the Pelicans. That's what they said. So he'll
what
stay
a disappointment.
Put.
Right? There was so much hype around Anthony Davis being traded. Everyone got so excited for the last week, and now he's just staying put for the foreseeable future.
I mean, yeah, it'll build back up in June where the Celtics will have a chance to trade for a guy like AD, who obviously doesn't want to play in Boston. He said it multiple times. His dad said it. But I don't think the Celtics really care about that. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, so let's move on to the biggest sporting event of the year, the Super Bowl. Some were saying that the commercials were better than the game itself.
I agree.
I think a lot of things were better than the game itself, to be fair.
You know what?
It was not so super this year.
It's tough because to me, as a guy that watches the NFL every week, I mean, the game wasn't great. Not a lot of execution on offense defensively. It's not like they were making spectacular plays and a couple picks on both sides. But really, it was just not being able to execute on the offensive side of the ball. Just some missed throws. Tom Brady did enough to get it done. But both offenses looked a little lethargic, and the defenses just were there.
I strongly agree. It looked like the defenses were there, and I think that's the perfect way to put it, honestly, because everyone's praising the Patriots defense and the Rams defense and whatnot, but both teams just really couldn't execute, in my opinion. I thought it was a poorly played football game. It was great scheming from the part of Bill Belichick, absolutely. He outcoached Sean McVay tenfold. Wasn't even close. But I agree. I don't think it was a great game. Neither team played to their potential. Maybe it was the two best teams in the NFL. Maybe it wasn't. All I know is that a lot of teams could have gone out there and beaten the Patriots in this game had they have played well, because the Patriots didn't play well. They just happened to end up playing better than the Rams.
Well, yeah, neither team played particularly well in that game. You got to give credit to the defense, though. You look at the Pats, a guy that easily could have won the Super Bowl MVP. A guy, Stephon Gilmore, he had forced a fumble, an interception, 3 pass breakups, 5 tackles. I mean, that's about as good as a defensive game you can have without really scoring a touchdown, especially as a guy in the secondary. He had a great game, but obviously, as we know, Julian Edelman, MVP, well-deserving. The Hall of Fame case, I mean, probably shouldn't be talking about that.
Definitely shouldn't be talking about that.
People are jumping the gun. The guy doesn't have a 1,000-yard season, or only 2,000-yard seasons, 0 All-Pro, 0 Pro Bowl. It's not really the debate.
Yeah, Jericho Cotchery, more receiving yards and yeah. catches than him.
You know what? The numbers aren't there, but he's a big game performer. He always steps up, and he's
I mean,
a winner.
He's a great receiver. Yeah, I'm not questioning that. It's time for him to be looked at as one of the best receivers in the NFL.
I don't agree with that at all.
I 100% agree.
One of the best receivers in the NFL?
I'm not saying one of the best one of the most talented receivers, but you look at a guy like Brady, he's a security blanket. He's going off for 10 receptions a game.
He's definitely a top tier receiver in the NFL. I wouldn't consider him one of the best though.
I'm not saying one of the best as in like Odell, Antonio Brown. I'm saying he's like a top plate receiver in the NFL. He's top 10, top 15, 20 receiver.
Yeah, top. I would say a top 20, maybe a top 15 receiver. But I thought when you said one of the best, you meant in the DeAndre Hopkins, Odell Beckham, Julio Jones.
No, nowhere near the talent level they have, but the production's there. Second most receptions in playoff history. I mean, the guy's incredible. I know Brian hates him.
Totally.
No, I hate him. I agree. He's playing very, very great. He's been great the last few years, absolutely.
So the New England Patriots with a 13-3 lead, and as I highlighted before this game, I believe on our Art Show telecast, I spoke about the kicking matchup. Greg Zuerlein had an injury in his plant leg before the game, which I didn't know about. But the kicking did have an impact. Goskowski missed one early on. Didn't really affect the outcome for the Patriots. But Zuerlein, if you were in a Super Bowl box, that last kick with about 5 seconds remaining, hooked it left.
That was really sad to watch.
It was really bad for me. The last 2 minutes of the game were really, really bad for me. I'll just give a quick story. If Goskowski doesn't hit the field goal for the Patriots, so they get the first down on 3rd and 1, and they run out the clock, I make $400. I walked away with zero from that. But then it was okay because Greg Zuerlein goes out, and if he kicks his field goal in my other box, I make $100, salvage the day, but wide left, we all know how that goes. I was not a happy camper.
So a tough loss for Brian. But as I said before, kicking matchup did come up large for some players, at least in a Super Bowl box scenario. Both guys missed one field goal, and the Goskowski field goal really helped me out. So thank you, Stephen Goskowski. I appreciate it. Another Super Bowl ring for that guy as he just keeps on racking up the wins. So that concludes the sports section of our show.
Well, I want to give just a quick note.
Yeah, go ahead.
So the MLB, we've talked about JT Realmuto a little bit. He was finally traded to the Philadelphia Phillies. Marlins end up trading him in division.
Which is a disgrace.
Very big disgrace for me as a Mets fan. But they get him for practically about half of what they demanded from the Mets. And they got Jorge Alfaro, a big highlight in that deal. I forgot the other guy's name, but Jorge Alfaro, definitely a guy to be the highlight there. But I'm really disappointed from the Marlins overall. I mean, if you think about it, the Mets were demanded Brandon Nimmo, Ahmed Rosario, and at least one other player. And they ended up trading away Realmuto for someone not even that much worth it. So it's sad. It really is. And it makes you wonder, you know, I mean, Andy Martino reported that it wasn't Jeter trying to screw the Mets. But, I mean, honestly, why wouldn't they do that? I mean, you look at this trade, and everybody's wondering, how did they manage to do this for Realmuto in division when they begged so much from the Mets? And I'm sure every Mets fan is just appalled right now. I'll talk about it a little more on the MLB whip around. That'll be coming next week. We didn't get to do it this week, sadly, but next week hopefully we can. But you know what? It's just the way the cookie crumbles. I'll be seeing him in the NL East again, seeing him on the Phillies, and you know what? Nothing I can really do about it.
Yeah, and that just goes along with the same theme as some GMs are just a little bit greedy at this time. They pass up on deals that happened a little bit earlier on before that deadline, before the crunch time, and sometimes the deal that they get isn't really what they expected or what they could have received early on as they were waiting for a better deal to develop that just never came. So let's move on to our topic of the week. We've got three questions, and I'm excited for this. I haven't done this in a little while.
Yeah, I'm going to go out and make a bold prediction that these are the three. This is the best topic of the week we are ever going to have. So my first question, if you could live in one movie ever, what would it be? For me, I'm going to go with Fast and Furious, any of those movies. I love those Fast and Furious movies. I mean, I'd always love to be able to drive a car around, you know, race around. I would never do that in person. But in a movie, when you know you can't get in trouble for it, I think they'll be so cool to live the life. But I think Fast and Furious is a really fun movie that I would love to live in.
Yeah, for me, it's The Sandlot. Obviously, one of the most classic movies of all time if you're talking about sports. Love to get out there on the field with Benny the Jet, Rodriguez.
Absolutely.
Smalls, my boy Ham. Having a good time out there.
Yeah, I would.
I could probably provide him with some baseballs, too.
That or Field of Dreams. Field of Dreams is a great movie, too.
Yeah, one of my movies would be Miracle, the hockey movie about the USA beating the Soviet Union in the Olympics. So that would be one of those if I was able to be part of that team. Just seemed like an electric environment, something that I would like to be a part of. And The Incredibles.
Fun.
I mean, that seems like a good time. They've got their superpowers. They've got their little niches. So just give me a role, and I'm ready for it. That would be exciting.
Going to stick with the hockey theme here and go Mighty Ducks.
Fair enough.
Great movie.
Solid.
I really want to be in Minnesota, obviously, with the Ducks. Watch Charlie Conway and Gordon Bombay, Triple Deke. Nothing else to speak on that.
Flying V.
By the way, for those who don't recognize.
Tried to do that in a game.
For those who don't recognize, Brian, that is not Brian. Brian has left. We have Constantino on the show. But so good first question. The second question, this is a two-parter. What is your favorite amusement park ride? For me, this has got to be Nitro over at Six Flags. I'm not really a big fan of the super roller coasters that are like going to make me vomit, but I really like Nitro. It's a fun one. It's more calm for someone like me that I can go on it and enjoy it and go on it over and over again.
Yeah, I'm not a huge amusement park guy, especially with rides. I was always at camp in the no rides category. You know, you're playing the games. You're walking the park, having a little bit of food. Maybe you jump on the bumper cars if you're feeling
it. Those are fun. That counts.
Yeah, but not really. You know, if you have a water slide, I'm in. You know, it's just something where I can't really get seriously hurt. And
nauseous.
Like my fear of heights won't really be impacted.
All right, then we can count Splish Splash in there or any
I've
water
never been
ride.
There, and I don't know how it is. I'd have to see the height and the magnitude of the ride.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a dog. I hate roller coasters, but for me, I like water rides. So this past summer, I made my return trip to Camelback Beach in Pennsylvania. I don't even know where it is. With my 8-year-old campers at camp, went on a few rides. I like the little toilet bowl one where you go around and go through the hole.
Yeah.
But whatever, not a big roller coaster guy. Maybe the Ladybug at Adventureland. Doug,
oh, absolutely.
Doug and I had a nice time on that one at the physics trip last week.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Like Garoff, I am into roller coasters. Just like at Six Flags. Bizarro, if any of you have been on it. A lot of...
I think I actually have been on that ride, which
really?
That really made me a little more sensitive to rides. That was a lot of fear that went into that. I tried to overcome it, and... maybe it wasn't that. I didn't go on any loops.
No.
It was just a really high roller coaster.
Oh, King, that's King.
No, but was it Superman or something?
Superman's when you're
hanging
over.
Like when you're
no, dude, I don't know what it was.
We're talking about that's the next one.
Yeah,
is what's
no.
the scariest?
Whatever.
You've
it was
ever
really
been on.
High up, and I was looking down, and I could see the rocks through the water. And all of a sudden, I'm leaning over to look at the rocks. I'm like, wow, we're really high up. All of a sudden, we go shooting down, straight down. I felt like I was gonna fly out of the thing. There you go. I'm
it
might
done. Have been Nitro, actually.
No
Nitro
more rides.
Yeah, pretty high.
I'm done. I went with my counselor, and I was trying to yell. I'm like, oh, my God. I can't. You know when you,
like,
when you,
the
when
ride.
You know when you go down and you try to yell, but you just can't?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was me. And,
like in your dreams.
And there we go.
Can't.
No more rides for Douglas.
So that takes us to the part two of that, which is the scariest ride you've ever been on. I guess that one's yours. For me, it's got to be Superman from Six Flags. I hate that ride. That was the first one I went on, the first time I ever went to Six Flags. And I was like, all right, I want to leave, but I couldn't because I was with, like, a group. So that was – Superman sucks, in my opinion.
For me
– Wow.
For me, it was in 2015. We went to Canada's Wonderland in Toronto, a little camp trip.
Dude, and, these camp trips are electric.
Yeah, they really
I mean,
are great.
Camp
Sorry,
is so outstanding. I mean, if you're listening to this and you have kids or you're a younger kid, maybe, I mean, you still have time to even be a counselor. You're looking to sleepaway camp. I mean, the stories that Ben and I share, just incredible. Just the friends that you make, the memories. Yeah. It's really just an outstanding place.
Doug just said it all. And I don't know what the name of the ride was, but my counselor forced me on it. I sat next to him.
Ouch.
It was pretty fun. I'm not going to lie.
You know what?
But I'm not a big roller coaster guy. That's what counselors are there for, Doug.
Yeah, they give you confidence and they lead you in the right direction. And look at him. Overcame his fear. Had a nice time.
I don't get scared.
Okay.
So I'm going to say.
Wow.
No. Yeah.
Have you ever been on King Ka before?
What? No. But
okay,
looking forward to it. Hopefully this summer, maybe.
Great.
All right.
So you know what?
So now.
So you know what? You're going to come back on the podcast, and you're going to tell everybody your experience on King Dica.
Yeah, right. Sounds like a plan.
That would be interesting. Now, a little food-related, but not really. What was the worst restaurant experience you have ever had? There was one time I was in Las Vegas, and we were at the Cheesecake Factory, me and my parents. We ordered. First of all, it took like 20 minutes for the waiter to come to our table. We ordered, and then about an hour later, me and my dad are like, all right, let's just go for a walk, because clearly the food's never coming. So me and my dad go for a walk for like 20 minutes. We come back. The food's not even there yet. And then we come back. We get the food. It wasn't even very good, and you know, I love the Cheesecake Factory, but that was a really horrible experience.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I haven't had that many bad experiences. I remember being away one time, and my great uncle got very mad. Don't really know why. There was another time, actually, I was out with my family, and we all asked for Coke, and they didn't give us the disclaimer that it wasn't Coke. It wasn't even Pepsi. It was like some off-brand soda, and it tasted like absolute garb. And I wasn't a fan, just got to say.
I haven't had too many awful restaurant experiences, but one of them that I have to put up probably my worst is it was winter one time, and me and my family went out to go to some restaurant, I forget where, and apparently there was a disgruntled employee who put like a bomb threat of some sort, and the police had to come and search it. We had to be outside in the, the blistering cold.
Well, that's a disaster.
Wasn't a fan. Yeah, disaster. Not a fan.
Hate to see that.
I mean, sad. I've had a couple incidents when I've sat down at a restaurant with my family, but nothing that like that crazy, really. Just some bad food, something that I didn't like. But recently, about last week, the new Chipotle that opened up in Comac, the employees are so nice there, but they're
great
just
place.
So dumb. I mean, I was ordering for my sister and myself, so the bowl for my sister was placed next to another guy's order, so he asked for beans on his bowl, and she put the beans on my sister's bowl, so she had to restart that bowl. Then they restart that bowl, they put a handful of lettuce in the bowl, and then put the rice on top. So my sister wasn't happy with that. Same order. I'm ordering my burrito. They get my burrito down the line. Somebody asked for tomatoes. I asked for tomatoes in the bowl for my sister. They put the tomatoes on my burrito. I'm like, she's scooping it, and I could see she's nervous. She doesn't know what she's doing. She scoops it. She's putting it on my bowl. I'm like, no, that's for the other. Oh, my goodness. Are you kidding? Now you got to restart that bowl. And by the time we got out of there, it took us at least 15 minutes to order from a Chipotle in Comac. I mean, it doesn't really get much easier as a job than that. I mean, come on. You're picking they're telling you exactly what you want right in front of your face. They've got to do a better job. But give them a little slack. She seemed like she was new, her first shift. New employees, obviously, at that Chipotle. So they've got to get their act together. Very nice people, not doing a great job at helping the client.
Yeah, I do have one more story that actually happened to me about 2 months ago. I was at Dairy Queen really quick. And, you know, they say it's not fast food, it's fan food. And, I mean, they weren't kidding. I was sitting on the line in the drive thru, and it took about 10 minutes for the person in front of me to order. And now we're boxed in, so I can't get out. So then we get up to the line. I order a cheeseburger. I'm like, cheeseburger, no ketchup, just a cheeseburger. And then I ordered something else.
Probably
then,
I
ordered a Blizzard, but there was something else that went wrong. But I ordered a cheeseburger and like with pickles on it. So we go up, we get up to the window about 10 minutes after we order, because the people in front of us took 10 minutes. We get there. I mean, you know it's bad when you're in a drive-thru and the person in front of you puts their car in park, because you know that's when it's over.
Big order.
Yeah. So we get the thing. We get home. The burger had ketchup on it and no pickles. I was like, are you kidding? I waited 20 minutes in line for the wrong thing, and the burger was awful anyway. So, you know what? Dairy Queen sometimes is good food, but I haven't gone back since.
Nah, Dairy Queen's trying to reinvent the wheel. Stick with your Blizzards. Stick with that good food.
Their chicken's real
it's
good,
it's a staple.
Though.
I don't know. I haven't had any of their food. Probably decent. Not great. But I'd have to try that out. But you got to stick with what works. And that's
I recommend going into the front and ordering there.
Charles Oakley once said, if it ain't broke, don't break it. And Dairy Queen's trying to break it.
I like that.
Interesting.
So great questions. That'll wrap it up for this week. And wait, just a little thing before we talk. Wesley Matthews will be released by the New York Knicks and plans to sign with the Indiana Pacers. So there's that. and as always, we'd like to thank the following people: Mr. Doxy, Mr. Ashuti, Dr. Catapano, the administration, the Board of Education, our audience who listens every Thursday. And finally, a thank you to the class of 2016 for their very generous donation towards our podcast setup. I'm Ben Nixon alongside Constantine, Brian, Left Relax. We got Douglas Tuco, Michael Garofa, Mikey Stats Garofa, sorry about that. And we'll see you next week.